welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird but helpful.
Just like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help, maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good happiness, man.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both. Hey, welcome to our podcast.
What's up, baby?
Well?
We got a bug out. Bug out. We're talking about death today?
No, we're not talking about death.
You were just looking at death.
So. I was looking at obituaries, but we're not supposed to tell everybody.
Oh. All right. This is our evening wind down. Ritual.
Let Mama look at the obits and be grateful she's still alive. Thankful for the death of her enemies. No. Not at all.
Not at all.
Anyways, this is a random thought time. Do you have any random thoughts, baby?
Oh, just a ear full of poop. Because your biggest enemy could pass and you wouldn't mourn them, but you'd be like, oh, I feel so bad for their family and loved ones.
I would. So what?
Huh?
Well, so
that's because you're a good person, baby.
I don't know, man.
You're the best person I know and I've ever met.
Oh, look at you lying. Look at you, smooth talker.
Since we're a PG show, I'm not even talking about in the bedroom.
You just made it not PG, baby.
I know.
Oh, my God. So I found this random link while I was looking for obituaries that says only in your state.
Oh, no.
And it has, like, weird places to go in Maine, which is where we live, which is if you are listening from away... And away means anywhere, not Maine. Maine is part of the United States of America, and it's on the tippy-top eastern northern corner, right under bits of Canada.
Yeah.
Bits of Canada.
Well, nobody else borders us up top, really. No. I mean, Vermont down the side. But
no, Vermont is not next to Maine.
New Hampshire. Does Connecticut border it?
Oh, my God, don't be stupid.
I don't know.
Babe, you know.
I'm from fucking Florida. I don't know the Northeast.
Hon, how long have you lived here?
I've lived in Maine. That's as far as my brain goes unless I'm traveling.
Maine touches New Hampshire and Canada. And that's it. And underneath New Hampshire is this little state called
Massachusetts.
And in between, and if you go underneath, like bottoming for Massachusetts, is Rhode Island and Connecticut.
Yeah.
It needs two states to hold it up.
All right.
So.
Gee. You can tell you're from the Northeast. Holy smokes.
So, yeah. Anyways, weird places in Maine, like, weren't that weird to me? Like, it was like, oh, the desert of Maine and Freeport. And
I thought that was
like,
kind of stupid.
Well, that's not nice to the poor Tuttle family.
But I've never been there.
Yes. So, basically, since, like, 1797, this land got farmed, and they forgot to rotate their potato crops. And then they forgot to, like, move the sheep. So, basically, they're farmers after my heart.
So, the Tuttle family's horrible farmers, but they're good at running a tourist attraction.
So, basically, they eroded the soil so much, right, that they found glacial silt underneath it. And then the silt took over their whole farm. And there you go. Now it's a desert.
That is insane.
And so people go and visit it. And they have been since 1925.
That's awesome.
It's the desert.
I mean, it's really like a cool family thing story.
Not if that's your family.
Well, not the first half. Yeah. We tried our hand at farming.
I feel like this is...
There was probably something before farming, though.
I feel like this hurts me. Because my grandfather, one of them... He took his family to Canada. Look at you.
I silenced my phone, but not my computer.
You didn't silence your computer.
I'm just not used to it. My apologies.
Anyway, so they moved to Canada, right? And they moved to Canada because they were on the McCarthy list, I think, or they thought they were going to be. They're kind of self-important, honestly. So they tried Mexico, but it was too hot. And so they went to Canada, and they started a farm. But my grandfather could not farm because he had been a stockbroker before that. And, like...
Hey, farming!
He failed at stockbroking, too. Brahu, stockbroking? That's not a word, a verb, but I'm like it. I'm kind of liking it. I feel like I'm George W. Bushing it right there.
Yeah, you're making up your own words. Carryisms.
Yeah, man. Carryisms. Everything is a verb for Carrie. so he failed completely at farming.
Well, that's what I just... Farming's not easy.
You know what they eventually farmed?
Truly not. Well, kudos to farmers, man.
It's tough.
It's always been tough.
I can't even handle our garden. And you don't
help. I know, I don't what?
You don't help.
Oh, you're going to try to throw me into the bus here?
You don't help. I asked for 30 minutes a day of outside work. And you
What happened on my second expedition?
He fell down and got boo-boo. Picking raspberries, and you were very scary.
Don't sugarcoat it. Oh my God, I thought I was going to come over here and see a compound fracture from that noise that your skull made when it hit the pavement.
It was not pavement. It was a garden. A.
It was.
B.
It was a timber... From a very old house, and you know that old wood's harder than this new wood.
So the garden is framed, but it's so full of weeds and raspberries and a few vegetables. You can't see where you're sitting, like you're stepping, and so Sean stepped over the netting around the garden to keep the puppies out. But he tripped and his foot got stuck in the top of the netting and his knee hit this piece of wood that frames the garden so hard. That I legit thought, oh, God, it's a compound fracture. And then instantly I'm like, we're going to have the firefighters come back here because I can't get him up all by myself. He's too big a man. And then I thought, oh, my God, there's dog poop. Will I be able to get the dog
poop? Whilst he's having all these thoughts, I'm still stuck on the fence with my shoe. Because he made me install this, like, Adam's Family style rock.
Oh, I did. Oh, did I? I made you do that.
She's like, if any animals try to jump in here, they're going to get impaled.
It was an awe-inspiring moment for me. And speaking of honest...
It made me feel horrible.
He's fine.
I can't say why, because that's like an ism, but...
He felt...
It's a bias, but...
He felt bad about himself.
Yeah.
He felt like he was decaying and getting a little decrepit. How about we say that?
But I still handled the totality of the injury pretty well.
Yes. You're wonderful, baby. You're just the most amazing man.
I stitched that up by myself.
There's no stitches. He doesn't even have a band-aid on.
I made my own splint, my own knee splint out of 2x4s and the piano hinge.
You're so bummed.
Anyways, what were you saying?
I was trying to say that, speaking of awe-inspiring, there's this other one other quickly. Oh no, doggies, don't argue. There's one other main museum place that's really funny to me and cool and awe-inspiring. And it's by this lady named Nancy Hoffman. And she like made this whole museum all by herself. And her museum is really kind of all about joy, but it's joy focused on umbrella covers. So it's just like like the things you put your umbrella into, like the little bag. And she said, the museum is dedicated to the appreciation of the mundane and everyday life. It is about finding wonder and beauty in the simplest of things and about knowing that there's always a story behind the cover.
You know, I'm not saying I'd go to this museum.
Of course
not. But I like the concept. If we were stranded on Peaks Island, I probably would go there.
If we missed the ferry back to Portland, Maine.
Yeah, if we had to spend the night there, we'd have to go get old Nancy out of pit. Get her to open up the museum.
Nancy, we need to see your umbrella covers.
We missed the ferry.
And maybe sleep in your bathroom.
I'm such a what?
Dude.
That's the first time in a week I've heard that substitution. Last time we had a podcast.
You're so mean. You're so mean.
Dude.
I had just been telling Shawnee he needs to stop squeaking his chair.
I was so into that first section of the podcast, I thought we'd been doing it for like half an hour.
Doesn't mean you're into it.
Or no, I was, it was fun. I thought like tons of time had passed. Phone by.
All right. Yeah. Sure, baby.
I'm serious.
All right. So, the point of our... Sean's pulling on my ear, Mom! the point of our podcast is about awe.
A-W-E.
A-W-E. And according to, not A-W, not A-H, but A-W-E. And there is a difference, everybody.
And not A-W. A-W-L, I mean. A-W-L.
Isn't that all?
That is all. All
right, so... According to Teja Padabhiraman, awe is defined as like this thing, right? Like it's an experience that you feel. You're like amazed, you're transported, you're inspired, right?
Yeah.
Like, and people experience it according to a woman who wrote Awestruck, Jonah Paquette, right? Maybe Jonah's a man. I'm not sure. He's a man. So Jonah Paquette has this book, and in it he describes the awe experience as having two components. One is like this vastness, like you're transcended, right? Like sometimes like you go up a mountain and you're tired and you see a beautiful vista, right?
Yeah.
Or it can be a concept like, whoa, black holes exist, mine explodes, right?
Yeah.
And like it just doesn't fit into, quote, the current worldview that you have. And so your understanding kind of like of the possibilities expands, right?
Hey, can I tell you something real quick?
Dude. Yeah.
All that right there sounds exactly like the first time I laid eyes on you, buddy.
I knew. I was like, how far in the podcast is it going to be before he does something about how he's awestruck by me because he's such a smooth talker?
Because even your intelligence is awe-inspiring.
Oh, you're such
and
a liar.
And awe-inspiring.
Oh, boy. Oh. He, you know, sometimes when you talk so smoothly, it's really hard to believe anything. Alright, so awe has a whole bunch of benefits, right? It can decrease your stress levels. It can make you more generous and more kind, right?
Yeah.
And like, it also makes you happier and more satisfied with life.
Hell yeah.
And so there's this other article based on a study also in the Greater Good at Berkeley about how awe helps us through tough times, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like, it makes your, like, gives you lower levels of inflammation. It, like, can make you have a feeling of the chills. It makes you think about things.
Get those other... all the time when I look at you.
Yes, but the unfortunately, chills. You don't have this process of awe, which is a diminished focus on yourself. Because awe is about supposed to be like the anecdote, according to this author, uh-huh, who is Leif Haas, to self-absorption. And it helps you, he says, gain perspective. And that doesn't happen worthy.
I do. I gain perspective of just how incredibly lucky I am.
Oh, but that's still all about you, gang. That's still about
and
you.
And how lucky the world is to have you.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Get you a Sean, everyone. Just get you a Sean. So the third part is increased pro-social relationality, which means, like, it just helps you be more, again, kind and generous and full of empathy. And it also helps you, like, if you feel awe and you're next to someone else feeling awe, then it makes you feel, like, more connected to them and part of a group, and then you're more likely to cooperate with them. And it also tends to give us all what I'm always looking for, which is a higher meaning and purpose. Did you just yawn?
No, not at all.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking about the all effects in a group, and I was like, well, doesn't that mean that perfect group, that would mean one. So let's say a group of three. Each person is in awe of the other two. So, but then isn't that? No. That's almost like borderline.
No, that's not what it's like. It's like this. Think about how churches are built, right? And you go into this beautiful cathedral for the very first time.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, there you are, all connected. And there's, like, this sound of the priests, like, humming and singing and chanting. And this beautiful smell of incense, you know, and everybody's perfume. And, like, you're used to living in your shack and squalor. Uh-huh. And it's like, wow. And everything's clean and pristine, and it sounds good.
Yeah.
Like, and then you're connected to all the other people in your community who are seeing that with you. Like, and so then you become part of that church's community because of the awe that's inspired within the building. That's what it means. It's not talking about, like, threesomes.
Yeah, it's I didn't mean sexual threesomes.
He did, didn't he, Pogi?
No, I meant, like, a focus group or something. You know, like, working, people working together.
Well, that can happen. I think maybe that's why they have, like, those, like, retreats where people, for fancy companies, and no. They all go hike a mountain together.
I thought you meant, like, sandals. Hedonism.
So you can find awe in big things or in little things. And what the study found was that during the pandemic, which is when they did the study, tough times, right? They found people were being more awed by smaller things.
No joke.
Like, I always talk about my Grammy Barnard, who would be like, "This is the most beautiful tomato. Look at the perfection of this tomato." And she would cry. That's an example.
She'd actually cry?
Yes, my Grammy would cry. Right. Yeah. And, like, but that, because she was so overwhelmed with its beauty and the awe, it made her, put her in the state of awe.
Now, was she the one whose husband went to Mexico and Canada?
Yeah. Maybe she was just marveling over the tomato because they were such bad farmers. She's like, look, it's a real tomato.
It's a perfectly real tomato.
But what makes you awe?
Rest in peace, you crappy farmer.
Do you ever have awe? Can you make your dog stop licking you?
I'm trying. Get that.
Very
out.
Noisy.
Get that out.
That's all the sound of Sean's chair.
Oh, the dog was like up in, on my lap.
She loves you.
Well, she needs to go away for a few more
Anyways, minutes. Does anything ever make you feel odd?
Things have made me feel odd, I think. Like, I think some natural things.
You don't even remember ever feeling odd.
What?
Have you, do you, can you remember feeling in
well,
this state
I already
state
told
of,
you.
That was a first, lie. The one time, the that most, was a lie.
The most memorable time.
The very first time you saw me?
Yes.
You don't even remember the very first time you saw me?
I did, yeah.
You don't remember, like, the first 12 times you saw
oh,
me?
Oh, it wasn't 12, that's for sure.
I think it's true.
I remember thinking you were hot at the jail.
All right. I wasn't in jail.
She was, and I was a corrections officer.
I wasn't incarcerated. I was being a goody-goody and teaching the people who were incarcerated how to...
Incarcerated? How to read and write.
Like,
they were
teach,
all struck, too.
I'll teach you how to read. I'll teach you how to write.
I really gotta say that I think a lot of my awe-inspiring things have been with you.
Oh.
Like, travel some places that we've gone.
Yeah.
I think I probably felt that way when I first flew ever and left Florida. The first time I saw snow and stuff.
Yeah, that must have been
like
so
that.
Cool.
Yeah.
A lot of people feel that when they see the ocean for the first time. Or a mountain for the first time.
I can't relate to either one of those, really. I mean, mountains Florida. Probably, because that was my first mountains were in, you know, the Smoky Mountains in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see them in a way that I'd remember for a while.
Yeah.
But, I'm sure they were awe-inspiring to me as well.
They say that if you're trying to find more awe in your life, you want to pay attention to the world around you. You want to not just the screen in front of you or not just your own inner thoughts, but slow down to pause, to like have moments and then kind of like let the moment expand before you react, even sometimes. Like, I don't mm-hmm. know. I don't know. How do you teach that, right? Like, how do you teach?
I think people just need to slow down.
You move.
Pay a little more attention.
Gonna dream.
Think about what they're seeing rather than what's on their mind.
Do you remember that song, Feeling Groovy?
Be in the moment. Say it again.
Feeling Groovy.
Sing it again is what I meant.
Slow down, you move too fast.
All right, who's singing?
Got a dream, it's gonna last.
I'm gonna say no, I don't remember that. Was that awe-inspiring for you?
It was before my time. No, but when you said slow down, you move too fast, it triggered the song for me in my brain.
Okay.
So yeah, man. It was a good trigger. No, actually, it wasn't. I love that song.
Gold tip for life.
Why do you have to be like that? So Simon and Garfunkel sang Feeling Groovy.
Oh.
And I'm ashamed that I didn't just immediately.
Yeah, that was like... Pretty much knows Simon and Garfunkel like the back of her hand.
I do not. I wasn't a Simon and Garfunkel fan, actually, and that is part of it.
Are you playing the song now?
Not really.
During the podcast?
Not in a way that's going to infringe on copyrights, but here, see? You don't know the song?
No?
Slow down, you move too fast.
I don't think so.
Man.
There wasn't a whole lot of Simon and Garfunkel. I mean, it was there. There were some songs that I did hear as a kid. But
all right, what's our dog tip for life? Stop squeaking the chair.
Yeah, pretty much what Smokey says.
What is it?
He said a flop, a big flop sound like a whale hitting the beach is better than a squeak.
What's a real helpful one though?
The real helpful one is we basically stole his thunder, really. When because he just said, listen. You guys summed it up pretty good, but I'll repeat it because I'm a wizened old dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what is it?
He said you gotta slow down.
Oh.
Smell every tree and fire hydrant and telephone pole there is. And really take it in.
He's so smart.
And admire it for what it is.
That's a beautiful one. Thanks for listening.
Oh, yeah. Baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, do you know?
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude No. It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast.
Loving the Strange.
Which we stream live.
On Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah.